I'm Scott Bales, Chief Justice of the Arizona Supreme Court.
In this edition of the ArizonaCourtHelp.org podcast, we are joined by Judge Greg Maxson. He is a longtime advocate for veterans and was instrumental in the launch of several veterans courts around Arizona. Judge Maxson currently presides over veterans cases in the East Valley Regional Veterans Court. Judge, could you tell us what exactly a veterans court is?
Well, what I explained to the veterans coming into veterans court is we have a number of therapeutic courts in our system. And, you know, we have homeless courts, we have drug courts, and mental health courts, and they deal with particular issues. And what I explained to the veterans participating in my court is that we deal with a particular population. We find that veterans have some particular issues, unique issues, but they also have some unique resources available to them to address those issues. And what we try and do is we try and use those resources to get them engaged in therapy and treatment to address the reason why they're in the court.
So is it a particular courthouse that people go to as distinct from other kinds of courts?
Well, in our case, Tempe hosts the regional court, so they come to the Tempe Municipal Court. But it's not there's no place called the Veterans Court as a standalone place. It's a separate docket that each court sets up specifically for veterans to have their cases heard.
So is the common thread that veterans are involved in the cases?
Yes. To be involved in the Veterans Court, you have to have served in the military at some point in your life.
So what would be an example of a kind of case that might come before your court?
Well, most of the courts, and in fact, all the courts here in Arizona that do veterans cases, they're criminal cases, and mostly at the misdemeanor level. Although Coconino County and Pinal County have got veterans courts, and they do address some felony cases there, but predominance is misdemeanor cases, and usually in the Justice of the Peace Court or the municipal court.
And how would the handling of one of those cases differ in a veterans court as compared to if it went through the ordinary court process?
Well, when somebody comes to veterans court, they're told up front that we don't do any contested cases. This is a therapeutic court. And if they want to be in veterans court, then we'll get them evaluated and lay out a plan of treatment for them. And to be successful in the court, they need to follow that plan of treatment and complete it as we set out for them.
How is it that you became interested in this kind of a therapeutic court?
Well, I spent 35 years in the military myself, and then I spent about a year and a half as the director of the Arizona Department of Veterans Services. And that's where I really started learning about some of the issues that our men and women are facing as they come home from overseas assignments. We have a lot of folks that served in combat over the last 15 years. And when they come home, they have a hard time getting reintegrated back in their communities, and sometimes they find themselves involved in the criminal justice system.
You know, I suspect a lot of our listeners realize that in Arizona we have a large number of military bases, but I'm curious, what is the presence more generally in terms of veterans in our community?
Well, there are no exact numbers, but the best estimates are there's somewhere between 600 and 650,000 veterans in Arizona, which is about 10% of our population.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of people. You serve for the East Valley Regional Veterans Court. What exactly is its jurisdiction?
Well, we have seven cities that participate in this court, and it's hosted by the Tempe Municipal Court. So our sessions are all held there. And as we were talking about establishing veterans courts in the East Valley, we came up with the idea that maybe having the courts travel to a central location where we have all the services. You know, it's much easier for our service providers, and they're the key to making these courts work, is having your service providers right there in the court so they can work with the veterans as they come into court. And rather than have, you know, this is Tuesday, so we got to go to Chandler, or this is Thursday, we got to go to Tempe, let's have it all in one place, and we have set dockets. Each jurisdiction maintains their own docket. We don't mix cases from different jurisdictions on any one docket. But the key thing is we have those service providers, those folks that are working with our veterans as they're going through their treatment, in the courtroom with us. And so we've got four major participants. We've got Tempe, Scottsdale, Gilbert, and Chandler, and they all have separate dockets. Then we also have Fountain Hills, Paradise Valley, and Carefree Cave Creek. And we don't see a lot of cases from them, so we do blend those cases in with our other dockets. And then the prosecutors for those cities whose docket it is, they've been authorized by the by those cities to handle their cases.
Well, it sounds like you take in a pretty good portion of Maricopa County. Are there veterans courts in other parts of the state?
Well, there are. In fact, Mesa has a very active court. Phoenix started their court back in 2012, and in about 18 months became the largest veterans court in the country. And I think that kind of gives you a good idea of how much demand there is for these kinds of services. Across the state, we've got about 17 veterans courts that encompass about 26 different jurisdictions. We've got a number of regional courts. Tucson has five cities in their court. La Paz County started a veterans court, and they've got five jurisdictions, two cities and three Justice of the Peace precincts participating in their court.
And I know you've been involved in helping set up those kinds of courts around the state. Is this something that we're still trying to expand?
We are, and right now, I think what we're limited by the resources the VA has. And the key to getting these other courts started is working very closely with the VA and give them plenty of lead time so they know the courts are coming and they can start planning for the resources. We've been very fortunate with our VA hospitals here in the state. They have expanded their services and hired more people just to accommodate our veterans and our veterans courts.
Judge, you mentioned that it's important to connect the veterans with different service providers. What exactly is a service provider? Can you give some examples?
Well, the main service provider that we use is the VA itself. They've got, you know, they understand veterans. They got great programs for veterans. And many of the courts, though, will take veterans who are not eligible for VA services for a number of reasons. So what we do is we find those community providers that we can connect with. And there are a lot of times the same community providers that are providing services for people who are involved, say, DUI cases, things like that. But we get these men and women connected with them, and then we monitor their progress through that treatment.
Would they be able to obtain substance abuse treatment in that kind of a program?
Substance abuse treatment, domestic violence treatment, anger management. There's just a whole list of treatment programs that we have these men and women engage in. Most of those programs, with the exception of domestic violence, are offered by the VA. So if they're VA eligible, we know the quality of those programs and we refer folks over there. But for those that aren't eligible for the VA, we just use the same community providers that that the other courts would use if they were addressing those cases. But we try and get them to a point where there's a warm handoff, you know, from the court to those providers, where we set it up so they go there, they're expected, and they're not just calling them off of a list.
So I take it that part of the reason you referred to veterans courts as therapeutic courts is one thing they do is they connect people with these kinds of services.
Yes, and quite honestly, to be successful in our court, they've got to complete the programs we set out for them.
So without asking you to identify anyone by name, could you describe a case where you think the Veterans Court really helped someone? I'd be curious just to understand how it impacts individuals.
Well, a lot of the cases are fairly routine, but I do have two examples that are kind of on the extreme edge but had good results. Our very first docket in Tempe, when we started our Tempe Veterans Court, I had the veterans stand up and introduce themselves, and there was one gentleman in a wheelchair, and he had been hurt in the first Gulf War back in the early 90s. Had a spinal injury, and so he couldn't stand up to introduce himself. And when I finally called his case up, I asked him, well, how are things going? And he had been arrested for a DUI. And he looked me in the eye and said, I'm going to put a gun in my mouth and kill myself. And come to find out, he had a few days earlier fallen out of his wheelchair, and it was 15 hours before somebody found him. He had a lot of friends, so to speak, as long as his VA checks were coming in. So, I mean, that was kind of the environment he was in. And I think he felt that life was just too hard, and for him, killing himself seemed like a reasonable alternative. And so I asked him if he'd been to the VA, and he said he had a bad experience. I said, well, just work with us. Give us a chance. Within a week, they had in-home health care set up for him. They'd set him up for rides where he was spending $900 a month on just taxis because he lost his license and couldn't drive. And so they got these services in there. And 10 months later, we actually graduated from him. And in his graduation speech or his talk, he said, the luckiest thing in my life was I got arrested because otherwise I probably would have killed myself. We got him connected with the right kind of services to address his issues. We got him the help he was needing, but he just didn't know how to find it. The other case, I had on my docket for about a year and a half, And this was a young man who was a combat medic and had seen some horrific things in Iraq. Very serious case of PTSD, but the number one issue we really needed to deal with was substance abuse. He came in court and he looked intoxicated, and I had a Tempe police officer come in and we breathalyzed him in court, and he was almost a 0.3. So I took him into custody, and I said, I'm finding you in contempt of court for coming into court drunk. I took him into custody. We immediately released him from custody into a 90-day inpatient treatment program over at the VA. He stayed with that program. He stayed in what we call aftercare for about a year after that. And we finally got him engaged in his trauma treatment for his PTSD. And we graduated him about 6 months ago.
Well, it must be gratifying to work on those kinds of cases. Do you have some suggestions generally for veterans or their families about what they can do if they find themselves sort of caught up in a criminal legal problem?
Well, the first thing is, if they're a veteran, ask the court if they have a Veterans Court program. Not all courts do. In fact, most don't. But many do. So to ask that question. And then just understand that if you engage in the Veterans Court program, you know, we're not going to concern ourselves right away with guilt or innocence. We're more focused on what do we need to do with this veteran to get him back on the right path. And we don't just focus on medical treatment. We also work with them on housing, employment, getting their VA benefits, filing for disability claims, getting their education benefits, getting them enrolled in school. So we really try and do everything we can to get them back, you know, to be competitive in the community, both in their daily activities, but also in the job market.
Well, Judge, it sounds like the veterans courts are a great resource both for the veterans and for our communities more broadly. I thank you for your leadership in helping develop them across our state, and I also thank you for our service to our country.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And I thank our listeners for listening to this azcourthelp.org podcast. It's sponsored and produced by your Arizona Supreme Court. azcourthelp.org is a virtual legal resource center offering legal help to everyday people. You can go online to find more podcasts and help for a variety of legal matters. And Judge, I know there's an online resource specifically related to veterans issues. Could you identify that for our listeners?
Yes. A few years ago, the Arizona Supreme Court helped sponsor a website called Law for Vets, and the website is www.lawforveterans.org. And it's the State Bar Foundation that operates it under the sponsorship of the Arizona Supreme Court. And it's a wealth of information, not just on criminal issues, but housing issues, employment issues, benefits issues. So if somebody has a legal issue and they're a veteran, I encourage them to look at that website just to see if there's some information on there that they can use to help address that issue.
Thank you for listening to this azcourthelp.org podcast. For more information on this and other topics, visit azcourthelp.org.